Your glasses look fancy today. I feel like you've been wearing no glasses for a little while.
Yeah.
But then some days it's bad.
Yeah, I got contacts. Yeah. So I've been wearing those for a while.
And it seems like a painful process to like
contacts.
Get those placed and then get them out. And then people talk about the times I've seen where people get it where it's stuck in an eyelid.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, and it's painful and like causing redness. I'm like, oh, that would seem a little tough.
That's only happened to me once, where the contact like ripped in my eye and then part of it got stuck. But I was on the freeway driving back to Yakima, or driving to Yakima from here. Yeah.
Oh, Wenatchee, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I drove like 60 miles with one contact in.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the vision was blurry?
For a bit, but got it. So here.
The other thing, too, is like LASIK is one of those things. I'm like, you have to keep your eye open. My dad got LASIK in his right eye, and he has 20/20 in that eye now. But you have to be awake and your eyes open and a laser's hitting your eye. Like that's just crazy.
I mean, you might as well, make it scary. Of course it's scary.
Well, I mean, you can't be passed out and they open your eye and then it's functioning properly. And then it's like peeling back a layer of like fog, right? In order to make it sharper, basically.
It's something about like, I think it's repairing the nerve. I honestly don't know.
Well, I know people they have to do droplets in their eyes sometimes after they get that done because the eye dries out more. And that just doesn't sound as fun. So I would do anything to avoid that. But right now, my right eye is still slightly blurry and the left is just razor, razor sharp. So the right eye would be tempting to get it look 100% great. But
do you know
I still
if,
see signs.
Are there like certain requirements? Because I have stigmata in my eyes.
Oh, stigmata. Stigmatism,
yeah.
Stigmata.
I got that. Stigmata.
Stigmata. It's
Italian
Dad. Word. Oh, yeah. So that would be where you have a blind spot on the eye. Is that right?
No, it's the shape of your
cornea.
Sure. No, the cornea is the nerve, right? It's your
pupil.
No, round pupils.
The middle.
It's the thing. It's in the middle. Yeah. So mine is pinched a little bit. It's like football shaped. So like lights and stuff look all
starry. They have like the
they
bands.
Got those. Oh, yeah.
That's cool. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
It's like
think
it's
of
like
the
you're
stars.
Watching,
think of the stars in biblical
books.
Yeah, like the star that the three wise men follow to see Jesus.
Yeah. All the lights.
That's
look
what
like
I
that.
See. Yeah.
You're seeing Jesus stars everywhere. That's actually pretty cool. I think I'm going to call this episode Jesus Stars.
Jesus Stars.
It's also good.
Yeah.
Also good. So there's a filter for cameras you can get and screw on the front of the lens, and it does that. It makes all lights like star up. Or what's what's that term for the films that are like wide screen where they put those anamorphic filters or the cameras that shoot that? It puts these like all lights have these like lines that come off the lights. And some people are like, oh, it looks so cool. I personally don't like it because it looks less real when you see all these lines.
I like it when it's used for like specific moments or like it makes sense for they use it a lot in Star Trek. And that guy? Who's that other guy? Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan uses
it as well.
He does. But I'm just like I see it everywhere. And I'm like, oh, anamorphic. You know instantly because anything that's light is banding out,
okay.
Having this long horizon.
Right.
It's not the bokeh or
no.
Bokeh.
What you were talking about earlier.
Hmm.
About the filters that you can add to, that's what does it.
No, that's different. That's different. So the filter, it adds like a polarizing thing it's like a polarizing lens you put on there, but it creates stars with any light. So the same thing you're seeing would be identical. So if you got that from your camera and you take pictures, everyone else will see what you're seeing when you take the photo. So,
if I put the filters... if I just crank those filters backwards, if I put them on glasses, if I put them on my glasses and cranked them backwards, mm-hmm. would it just undo it?
And yeah, they don't have a backwards option on those, unfortunately. The one thing I'll say after our friend Mitch like shot me in the eye with that Nerf bullet, which is why the right eye is like slightly soft, is everything is in this soft diffusion world slightly. So the combo of both my eyes together has a slight diffusion, but it's still sharp. So it looks like a kind of an old movie filter, but barely on. Mm. You know how the old movie filters are dreamy? If I go to my right eye, there's a level of dream that's added to everything. So in some ways, it's a blessing and a curse. As a filmmaker, I can visualize the scene right now as I would see it after I put my filter on and know that I like the look of it. And naturally, I'm living in a future, in a Hollywood dream world, just with my eyes currently. If I fix the one eye, I'll be back to normal. But it's annoying when I'm like looking at a screen in the distance and having to focus on what's on it. And I close my left eye and everything's slightly blurry, but I can still read it. It's just so annoying because I know it was sharper before then.
Yeah.
What are you going to do though? LASIK?
I don't think so. Maybe if it gets like bad, but I mean, I have pretty good eyesight. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you're wearing, do you have good eyesight without glasses or contacts?
No.
So LASIK would be where you don't even need anything anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't need anything anymore. But I like glasses. Like, I like how glasses sit on my face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like contacts because then I can wear my sunglasses.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Honestly, that's why I got them. Because I wanted to wear sunglasses.
You could probably get prescription sunglasses. That would be pricey. Yeah.
But I have a pair. They weren't that expensive, but I just wanted the sunglasses that I wanted. So I got them. And then I spent more money to get contacts so that I can wear the sunglasses.
You can do anything you want. Yeah. I was doing a rhetorical, and I'm glad you answered it, though. But I was like, I was more like, what are you going to do? Get LASIK, like a general term? And you're like, I don't know.
But, I thought you were looking straight at me.
Well, I know, but I was like, what are you going to do? LASIK, like just for the general community, but I think that's wise of you too. I know I have a pair of glasses that would have been pricey, but I got them for free, those other ones. So I would love to continue growing the sunglasses collection. I still have a good pair of aviators, but they're always so cheap. They get bent one way or set on a seat or something. I'm like, and these are shot too.
Yeah.
And they're front heavy all the time. But the looking like a cop, but having that slight orange glow is kind of cool. And I feel like it fits a 70s vibe, summer vibe for sure.
Oh, that like smoke look where like down at the bottom, there hardly is anything. But the more you go up.
Yeah, it gets more. So then I've had that where I'm driving and then it gets later in the day and I have to tilt my head back a little. Because if you tilt your head down, you're like, it's too dark. And you're like, but there's still some sun hitting me. And so you're just sitting here like this. And someone's like, is that guy all right? As he's driving. Mm-hmm. I have a list of some top 10s. We're on episode 120.
Okay.
I was just looking it up when I was watching that one show, the Geography of Bliss one, because they're talking about places that are happy or different places like that. So this was like best places to live in the U.S., top best cities.
Okay.
And I am proud to say we live near one of these.
Okay.
There's two there. I have multiple lists, but I'm going to start with this one.
What episode is this? We're doing it now.
Episode 120.
Oh, sorry. I spaced out up until this
point. So it's a 10. It's a 10s up. Oh, so you weren't even here this whole time?
No. No.
You were responding and talking and.
Yeah. It's gone now.
That's how you don't remember these episodes. 120. Yeah. You're here now. You're here.
I'm here now. Checked in.
So it's good. I can tell you about that show with Rainn Wilson and the things
no.
that I...
No.
I don't want you to space out.
No!
So can you guess... Give me your best guess on maybe like what you think maybe three of the names of these cities are in the U.S. for best places to live in the U.S.
And we're saying Seattle is the city that we're comparing it to.
No, there's no comparison. This is just in the U.S. These are rated as the top cities to live in.
Oh, so it's not even a Washington city.
Well, there's one Washington city on this list, but I just said we live near one. I'm not saying what it is.
Okay. And what is your current question?
I wanted to see if you know, just give me three of your guesses about what the top cities in the U.S. would be to live in. I've asked you two times.
Okay.
Where were you this last couple minutes? You're out in space. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think the Washington city is? Any guess?
Top 10 of what, though?
Best places to live in the U.S. Top 10 okay. best cities.
Okay.
Third time that's been mentioned. It's fine. I'm not upset at all. This isn't a trigger for me.
Me not listening to you. It's like,
yeah, you're not listening.
It's like that the center of our friendship.
when like our friend Esteban would be on the phone, I'm like, hey, so you want to do this? He's like, all right, man. Yeah, cool. See you later. I was like, no, I asked you a question. Like, and when people aren't actively listening, that's when I'm trying to have a conversation with them and it's been a minute and that's when it gets me. Like, this I understand is understandable, but like, that is probably my trigger. Like, your trigger is people telling you how to do stuff. Mine is when people aren't listening.
Okay.
But I don't feel bad right now because this is it is confusing a little bit. I won't make you guess a bunch. I'm going to give you the list.
Okay, just three guesses. Okay.
Just one guess. One guess of the Washington city. I'm going to narrow it down for you. One city you think.
Fairhaven.
That's a good guess. I actually love that area up there. It was Bellevue, Washington. And that's 10th on the list. That's 10th on the list. 10th. So
no one asked it to be a city. No one asked it to be a city. Bellevue.
Oh, I know. But I mean, it is like a clean, nice place to live. So I get it.
Yeah, because
they kicked everyone out. Because they kicked all the people out.
They kicked everyone out and won't let a freaking economic, commute system go through it.
Actually, it is starting to go through it now. They were voting it down, but it's happening. I've seen the development of it.
Oh, it's by the...
It makes it to the edge of Bellevue. It's by Bellevue way south.
Yeah, by
the... So they get to go there, but they will not get to go... Yeah. Is it going that far? It's down way south of there right now. The stop is there, unless it actually...
Whole Foods. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
The support through town. Things are right there.
Shoot. Okay. Well, that'll get you all the way there. Awesome. Despite their voting it down. The top 10 places: Cambridge, Massachusetts, never been. Arlington, Virginia, number 2. The Woodlands, Texas, sounds nice. Never been there either. Naperville, Illinois, if you want to say it that way too, is 4th. Yeah. It's wrong. If you want to say it wrong. Columbia, Maryland.
Yeah.
Berkeley, California is 6th. And Berkeley is cool, but it's very, very hippie. I was like, oh, I'm surprised they're saying that's the best, but it's probably just the nice, calm area, you know. A lot of protests back in the day there. Irvine, California, also nice. That was 7th. Ann Arbor, Michigan. I've heard that's nice. 9th is Overland Park, Kansas. And 10th is Bellevue. So this is voted on Forbes top 10 list. So Forbes knows what they're doing, right?
I guess so. There's probably some investor... that
pay to be in it. It's they're like, we'll put your city here if you pay us this amount. Yeah. And then I was like, well, what's the most affordable city? Because it's not Bellevue and it's not all these places. So the ones that are most affordable are not always the nicest. Erie, PA made it on that list. I might not do the top 10 there, but Erie, PA is on Lake Erie, as it turns out, because that's the name of the city. And they get these winds that come in the winter, similar to Cleveland. It's nearby. And you get remember our old coworker that moved to Cleveland and they had feet of snow on their deck, basically, because the cold air. Oh, you weren't on Facebook because you left Facebook by then. But they posted pictures. Cleveland? Sammy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because Sammy, not Sammy the dog. Oh, hey, I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna leave now. It was no surprise. No, she already moved. She doesn't live there. She lives in Florida now.
It's like your friend a couple episodes ago, where you're like, I'm not gonna stay there. Your aunt.
No, my aunt. Yeah, I'm not gonna say their aunt, and then we said it. Yeah. And then I bleeped them all. So let's not say it again, because that's more work for me. So she moved there in the summer or fall, and it was really nice. And like, she was a block and a half from the lake, so she could walk the trails, take her dogs out. It's like beautiful, sunny, nice. And she's like, oh, this was a good affordable house. And it was like fixer upper and got it all looking nice. And then the winter hit, and she had these small dogs. They're like less than a foot high, and the snow is 2 feet high, and the dogs have to hop out, and it's just snow drifts gathering because all the cold air creates extra snow and extra moisture off the lake. So they get these frozen waves in the winter. It looks insane. If you look up Lake Erie and see these frozen waves, and that's the kind of stuff that they get, and just like the wind across there would be insane. So that's probably why Lake Erie or Erie, Pennsylvania is a cheaper place to live. And the hometown of that Thing You Do's band, The Wonders, but that was actually shot in LA. So
yeah,
not that they were actually there. Yeah.
The Wonders. But,
'cause I wanted to drive through the town and see the spots that they jumped over the parking meters, and the guy broke his arm and fell down. And apparently that's just a movie set to look like Erie, PA back in the day.
Dang it.
'Cause I looked at pictures and it just looks more like a little industrial. Still looks nice, but summer would be the time to go. So, and then here's the last one. We got a lot of you young professionals that listen to this podcast. So this is the top 10 best cities for young professionals. Based on our demographics, there's some young professionals. I don't know what qualifies someone as a young professional.
Probably like 24 to 30.
So Cambridge, Massachusetts is number one for both young professionals and best cities to live. San Francisco is second for young professionals. Seattle is third because of all the tech and stuff, I bet. Washington, D.C., fourth. Arlington, Virginia. Boston, Berkeley, California. Minneapolis, New York City, and Pittsburgh. So it's kind of cool that we have two cities in our area that are on the list of best cities for certain stuff. And you think about all the cities in the country in each state and how many town or big cities are in each thing, and to have a list and make the top 10 is pretty good.
Yeah.
So just think of how cool it is to live in Washington the past couple of days, because now it's like cool and smells like the ocean out. I love it.
Yeah.
I
love it. I wish you're smelling it by
your place too, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went to a park yesterday that opens up to the sound. So it was nice. But
nice.
I would love summers here more if there were more of these breaks involved.
In the heat?
Mm-hmm. In the middle of the heat. Yeah. If there was like a nice like 70, high 60s, couple run of days, it'd be nice.
We used to get that. It didn't used to be like 10 days in a row of 90.
Oh, really? But
then stupid global warming or climate change. Yeah. Climate change has affected it. And now it's like an intense California summer and then straight to fall.
Yeah.
But yeah, this isn't bad, but I didn't use the heater today. But I just love that smell. I thought I posted on the Instagram story. I was like, it smells like crabs or fish, but kind of not. But it is nothing like that. It's actually just fresh smelling.
Yeah.
And so I take it for granted, because there's a lot of places I could live that would not smell like the ocean and not be moderate. And this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, I wore a sweatshirt today and I felt great.
Yeah. Yeah, I wore a sweater too, but I felt like I started cooking dinner and then it got a little too warm, but I kept my sweater.
Because you're doing meat. That's why.
Yeah, I had the oven going.
Yeah, I've eaten four. I already had dinner mid-afternoon. And I was like, what if I just make this a new tradition? Where I start having a breakfast that's not very big, so I'm hungry earlier. I eat a normal lunch, the mid-afternoon, make a dinner, and then just have a second dinner. And so I was like, tonight I'm going to have second dinner, because after this, I will want to eat again. Is it going to be as big as a full dinner? No, but it'll be something. But I had a pot pie in the afternoon, took an hour in the oven. Marie Callender's, top notch. None of this banquet stuff. We used to get this small bank. Yeah, Marie's good. She's not around anymore, probably. Her kids run it. But the banquet pot pies were the real cheapies back in the day. And I remember I got food poisoning from one as a kid, like a beef one. And then I had to stave them off for a while. Then I was like, let me try again. And it was fine after that.
The thing about pot pies is that I always think the gravy is going to be better, and it's not.
Yeah. You gotta, I mean, if you can make your own, that's the best way to do it.
Because, like, I want it to be salty and, like...
Oh, like Thanksgiving gravy.
Yes, that's what I want. And it's not that at all.
You got to make your own. Make your own pot pie. You know, you want to make your own pies anyway. Just do the crust and then put everything in and do your own gravy. And it'll be, like, the best thing you've ever had, I bet.
I won't do it, but...
You won't do it?
I don't think so. It sounds like a lot of work.
You're going to make your own gravy, though.
Yeah.
My favorite dish that I have made is like my own pot pie without a crust. It was kind of like a shepherd's pie, but it was just like a layer of mashed potatoes on top. And then underneath was like chunks of potato with a broth, with meat, with vegetables. And it was just in there and the mashed potatoes were on top. So I guess that would be closest to a shepherd's pie. Yeah. It wasn't like ground beef. It was chunks of beef. And I did lamb and beef in it. But it was something that years ago, my wife and I would make and looked at a recipe up and you just do this little pan and then you got this like amazing dish that tastes great. And it was like all stuff from the earth.
No,
like breading or anything like that.
What I want to make, because it just sounds delicious. Chicken and dumplings.
Oh, yeah. You can make anything you want.
Yeah. I just think it's cool that you literally put in raw dough, you cook it, and it's cooked. The dough cooks.
Oh, right. And it's just like you form a ball of it and drop it in, right?
Yeah. So sick.
Science. I would buy those Progresso. Is it science?
It's science.
Yeah. Because you're using heat.
Because chemistry.
And they tried it. And chemistry, yeah. And chemicals of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Gas.
For the stove.
Yeah.
There's chicken dumpling soup that's in a can, not as good. Mm-hmm. But the Progresso soups, I think I've realized when I was thinking about like growing up and the meals we'd make, my dad would pretty much just do stuff out of cans or boxes and follow the recipe, like rice-a-ronis, pastaronis, canned soups. And there's so much sodium in those.
I'm sure.
So I realized I probably got a ton of salt as a kid and I got some Progresso soups recently and I was like, this is a good like survival food thing because it can last 10 years on the shelf. And then I had a couple of them and I'm like, you know, they're pretty watery. They're not as good as making my own thing. And the Crock-Pot stuff is so much better.
Yeah. But you know what? I haven't done it in years, but there's something about a chicken noodle soup from Campbell's that sometimes just hits the spot because it's like super salty.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
I made the mistake of not adding water.
Oh, yeah, you need to cut it.
If you don't add water, it's like this gelatin yellowish thing. And it was kind of gross. And I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh, cut it with water.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hacker who we talked about. Wait, that might have been the week you were gone. I don't remember. I think it might have been with David and Michaela. But there's a hacker that's working. He's stopping basically like child trafficking stuff and catching predators via hacking, which is really cool. So he's using his powers for good. He used to do another form where he did like cybersecurity for companies and doing that. And now he's put all his efforts into that to find like to locate people's information on these websites they sign up for that are really bad or whatever else. And then like just give the information to the police and say, hey, by the way, the address is here. Here's the name. Mm-hmm. I guess this kid needs Campbell's soup every single night. He has a routine. He has one Campbell's soup at night. He does this. So he walked a mile and a half to go to the closest store to get a Campbell's soup to eat in his hotel room because that was his routine. So the night before the podcast, he's like, yeah, it was a mile away. He's like, I just walked down the street and got a single can because I'm only here overnight. And just like there's so many other things you could eat, but it's like a habit of routine and just how this stuff works. And this kid's like just, you know, maybe like 29 now and just insanely smart. So but I could tell he's a very analytical person, just very sticking to regimens and routines. So
yeah,
maybe if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for everyone else.
I don't think it's that. I think it's the, cause it's not good for anyone, but it just it gives you back time. Like now you don't have to think about what you're going to eat for dinner. We're going to the grocery store to get these elaborate.
You mean making a plan?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, boom, if you just choose just there, the same dinner. Buy it, go home, done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same reason people wear one shirt. They buy like 10 of them and just have one pair of pants. Like our one friend that would wear all black and just like, yep, I have 10 of these, five of these pair of pants, one jacket, shoes. And it takes no time at all.
Yeah.
Where I like to be like, what day is it? Can I wear my, what's that record company in Seattle? I can't even think of it right now.
Sub Pop.
But Sub Pop. Yeah. Do I wear my Sub Pop shirt today? Is this a Sub Pop day? Are my armpits going to sweat through the shirt after I put on the deodorant instantly? So my new thing I've been doing is I wear three shirts throughout the day.
Yeah.
So in the morning, I put on one, it gets pitted through in the first hour. I change it before I leave the house, and I have a third just in case I needed
it. Yeah.
And I was like, what is wrong with me? Why am I, does everyone else not sweat through their pits all these times? And I was like, it's the deodorant, the amount of deodorant I'm putting on. That's just making it like too much. Probably just need to dab like, a tiny little bit.
Oh, you think you're putting on too much deodorant.
Right. So I go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then it's like liquidy. And then it's like, let's dry this off in your shirt. Or the shirts are fitting too tight because I gained a little weight or something. And you then think it makes it.
You think it's actual product and not sweat.
Right. It's not just because I don't feel sweaty. It's just the product is there. And I'm like, that's so annoying. But I'm like, if I don't, maybe I just need to do two little passes and I'm good. But I always feel like I need to do more.
I do three. I go one, two, three, and then I'm done.
Oh, I don't do six.
I don't go up, down one, up, down two, up, down three.
I do 10. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This do
you? I don't do 10. That's a lot. You're like, I go from my wrists all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I do my ankles and just smell like Old Spice everywhere I go. But no, that's my biggest thing is like, I was like, oh, I wanted to wear this shirt today and now it feels gross and I'm going to pick a new shirt. So yeah. I need a few shirts I wear at the house or I just need to plan to do less.
What if you get, are all your shirts cotton?
Mostly. Yeah.
Maybe try doing like a breathable material. Do like an open collar
moisture,
shirt. That's like
moisture wicking.
Yeah. Or like a.
Because I don't like the materials when it's like non-cotton. The feel of cotton's better. So the polyesters, mostly polyesters, kind of. I have a couple golf shirts that are like that, and it is good if you're like active, but it's not really sweat. It's just annoying to look like you sweated out of your shirt.
Yeah, got it.
My brother got me a shirt right before he left Australia, and he does two times or three times he's gotten me shirts. They're like shirts that are very much like sound like egotistical shirts. Like the first one was the Anchorman one. And it was like, I'm kind of a big deal. And it shows Ron Burgundy on it. And I was like, it's funny, but I feel weird wearing this in public because it's saying that I'm kind of a big deal. So he calls me before he leaves Australia the night before. He's like, hey, I found a shirt I think you're really going to like. It's a muscle car shirt or has like a Mustang on it. I think it's cool. You'll like it. I was like, awesome. Thanks. That's great. So I gave him the size. He brings it. I haven't worn it yet, but it says King of Cool up in the corner here. And then the car's down here peeling out. And I was just like, and so I just commented to him. I'm like very honest with him now. I was like, I wasn't trying to, the first one, I was like, you gave me a shirt I feel weird wearing in public. So this one, I was like, all the shirts you get me are like an ego trip shirt. Like now people are going to think, I think I'm the King of Cool. If I'm wearing this King of Cool shirt, now suddenly I'm the King of Cool. And I was like, I just want to wear this at home. This will be my morning shirt. Yeah, and then I changed the one I want to wear after that. But it's a small King of Cool and the car is big. Is it saying that this is the King of Cool, the Mustang?
I'd have to see it.
Arrow.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to see
There's no arrow pointing up or something. Yeah. King of Cool right here. Yeah. I don't know. But I just like the things that don't draw attention to yourself.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm the same. I also don't like logos. I don't like stuff.
Yeah.
On shirts.
I try to avoid those too.
Yeah, or mostly. Like words. I usually don't go for words on things.
I totally avoid those too.
Yeah.
Although I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now from a place.
Yeah, it has like eight lines of
Well, it's Cairns, Queensland, Australia, Great Barrier Reef, and it says like, oh, there's the pit stain. It's not even sweat. So annoying that I gotta wash this now. Tropical North since 1876. So I got this there. But I don't like things if I can, like, I got a Hurley shirt and the H is kind of like not bolded. It's just the same color as the fabric. I was like, that's fine. But I'm trying to find like REI, everything has a name on it. And I want something where the name is on the tag and not sitting out there on the front.
Yeah.
Like a North Face.
Yeah. This is in the same vein of a topic that I had written down. If you could change your fashion, what would you want it to be?
Oh, that's a good thing. You know what I've really, besides the non-pit stains that look like, or the sweat, the deodorant stains that look like pit stains, which don't happen every day, just to clarify, but a lot. I've wanted to, like, so a few people we know wear suits a lot, and my friend Reagan wears suits a lot, and he always looks like debonair and cool. And I was like, I should get a fitted suit that's really comfortable for fancier occasions. And then and the shoes to match and everything looks like. So it's like a step up, because like a suit just looks like you're very put together.
Yeah.
And that seems like the opposite of my style, because I always like to be kind of beachy and relaxed. Yeah. And it's the complete counter opposite, but I think it would look pretty cool.
Yeah. Or do like a seersucker. Do a seersucker suit. It's the material.
I've heard of them.
It's more of like a linen than a wool or a...
So it's a seersucker suit. So it's a breathable material.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Only $360 at Macy's, $299 at Men's, or $199 at Men's Warehouse.
Yeah. But you should do that.
But yeah, getting something that's actually tailored and fitted to me would be nice, where it's not like, it's comfortable to wear and don't have to think about it.
I feel like most men just need a black suit.
Yeah.
You know, it covers most occasions.
Or I would do a dark blue or something like that would be cool too. Mm-hmm. But one or two would be awesome. And seeing TV shows where people are all, the old 70s ones especially, they're always in shirts and ties and suits. And everything looks so proper. And they're in like L.A. or Hawaii. He's like watching Perry Mason. He's wearing a trench coat in L.A. And I was like, there's no way. Why would you be wearing this trench coat in Los Angeles? But it's like a look in a style. So I'm sure everything underneath was like breathable. Or the Hawaii 5-0, the old one. They're running around in full suits. But the suits have to be so breathable.
Talk about pitting. I don't think so. It was all polyester in the 70s.
Well, whatever they did to stop that is probably antiperspirants that are chemicals, because I don't do chemical based.
And they all smoked and like drank whiskey. And those people are putting on deodorant. There's no way.
You don't think they are?
No, I know that.
In the 70s, they didn't wear deodorant?
Like the women had the pads, you know, those.
Antiperspirant pads?
Yeah.
So when.
Google, when did deodorant? When was deodorant invented?
When did people start using deodorant?
Yeah.
I bet they had to in the 70s. Because
that's why cologne and perfume exist. Because people stink.
My dad used it in the 80s. I did images and they just show a bunch of women wiping on deodorant. Body odor through the ages. A brief history of deodorant. Oh, wow. We're gonna learn a lot. It goes back to ancient Egypt. Ancient Rome and Greece, Middle Ages. I'm just giving the headlines. I'm not reading anything about these. The first trademark deodorant was called Mum, like Mum's the word, M-U-M, came out in 1888, created by an unknown Philadelphia inventor. Mum was a paste applied to the underarms. It was soon followed by Everdry, the first ever antiperspirant. Everdry was an aluminum chloride solution. That's not good. You're getting aluminum in your body. I'm glad we live in an age that they figured out all the things that are actually terrible for you, and it's not in our products anymore.
Right, but we only find out about it when we're older and not
in
our developing years.
Even when we were in developing years, maybe I got some of those. I know I had some that were like anti-sweat, antiperspirants, and now everything's aluminum-free. So I got a good 10 years of aluminum, but it's done now. Oh, shoot. What's the rest of this? It's done now. It's already happened. Today, about 95% of Americans use deodorant. There's 5% that don't, apparently. Whether you wear roll-on, use a crystal, take an internal deodorant pill.
What?
Does that really work? It says in parentheses, does that really work? As a deodorant pill, no way. Or even make your own home concoction. Just know that the rest of us truly appreciate it. I mean, yeah.
Because people get, people have to get, what's this? Look at me. What are these? Botox.
Oh, Botox. People get injections? Botox.
Yeah. In their like pits and hands to stop sweating. When it's like severe. Is that really? You know? Yeah.
Oh, really? That mm-hmm. works? It yeah. blocks it. Oh, blocks yeah. the pores. I was trying to see this first paragraph and I had it blocked covering you, so I didn't see you there for a second. But the title at the very beginning was Being Stinky in Human Evolution. And it's just a paragraph I feel like I should read.
Yeah.
When we lived in caves and had just figured out the whole standing upright thing, we were less concerned about body odor. Put simple, human stunk. Like you see shows where people are like walking through the desert, you know, they don't smell good, even though in the movies they're fine. They have their trailer 10 feet away. Anthropologists now believe that our funky selves helped keep us from being some predator's dinner. Because it smelled so rank. Our scent was so rank that the animal about to eat us would actually recoil in horror at the smell and would move on to something less repulsive. Now that's a defense mechanism. Then they go back to ancient Egypt and all that stuff too. So
yeah, because that
so there might be some things about it.
Because like, when did we become conscious of bathing ourselves?
I mean, I think people have been bathing for thousands of years.
But like that the first beginning of people, you know, like if this is true that we just smelled in defense to like not be hunted, you know, they were not bathing. They probably didn't have a water source.
Not all the time. Yeah. Not everyone has a water source. I would think any kind of river people would jump in, and it's just human nature to like,
yeah,
but it's not like a daily routine where someone's like, I'm going to go down to the river this morning and at night. They'd probably be like, well, there's predators. Prehistoric saber-toothed tigers and things, and we're gonna like hide in the bushes, jump in quick, and get out of there.
Yeah.
And I have a saber-toothed tiger tooth. This is totally random, but since I just said it, that I got at La Brea Tar Pits years ago. So the La Brea Tar Pits are in LA, and it's actually a tar pit, and it has a big like gator. It had just a fence around it back in the day, so anyone could hop the fence and go in, and someone's like dumb enough now to do it. Tartar, like tartar sauce.
Yeah, steak tartar
sauce.
Yeah.
So like that. But I remember it was 1990, 1991-ish.
Yeah, Dookie.
And we were down there with my mom going. Yeah, Dookie was 92. Thank you. 94, actually. 92 was Nirvana. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind. Never mind.
So go on.
We were there with my mom going to Disneyland, and we stopped at the La Brea Tar Pits, and then in the souvenir shop they had like a plaster mold of what a saber-tooth tiger tooth would have been, and it was big enough to hold in your hand. Like the part that would be in the gum would take up your whole hand, and the spike or the rest of the tooth was going out like 3.5 inches. So they'd figure
your
that
hand
out
as a
like,
small child or compared to an adult.
My hand now,
like a weak
huge.
Child, yeah.
Like my hand couldn't hold the part that was in the gums as a kid. I could hold it now, but it was like a 6.5 inches long or 6-inch long tube, long fangs, basically, which they figured out from like fossils and things. So imagine like a huge tiger with fangs that big, and you're trying to drink some water, or take a bath, like forget about it. And then someone probably mistook a tar pit or quicksand for like a watering hole at some point too. But I feel like there's a lot of people that died tragic deaths back in the prehistoric days, I'm sure. So La Brea Tar Pits now, I think, have a bigger wall or fence around them, if they're even like, if they haven't covered them over by now. Because there's that show La Brea, which I'm sure you've seen.
I have not.
No, I haven't either. But it's cool, and it's kind of like when you get sinkholes in the South and stuff, it kind of just like makes you feel like this world might be falling apart.
Sure.
comparatively. La Brea Tar Pits, there's like, oh, okay. There's a park around it with a walking path. They used it in Agent Carter for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show in the 50s. It actually looks just like that. But it's there now, and there's like fake elephants around it and stuff. But I don't think you should try to go in. The fence is pretty high, and there's a reason they're not doing that. But yeah, you can go. It's a museum.
And tar is dinosaurs, right?
Tar is like oil mixed with water mixed with something else. Yeah.
Oh, tar doesn't happen naturally?
It was natural. You know, it was natural. But
okay.
When I said oil, I should have said charcoal. Oil from
dinosaurs,
right? Because like the things in the earth, oil came from the earth. It just is mixed with a couple of different things. Was it because of dinosaurs?
I think so.
Does that happen?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know the facts, but I know dinosaurs existed, and there's facts because people found skeletal remains. And I don't know how coal turned into oil, but they used it for that. And they still do, as it turns out, because the coal trains are going by all the time.
Coal turns into oil?
I thought they used coal to create oil. And this is why I'm going to look it up real quick, because we can give a few facts on here. Do they use coal to create oil?
Who is dinosaurs?
Petroleum products. Who is dinos? Dino nuggets. Just kidding. Petroleum products are fuels made from crude oil. And so crude oil would be the thing. And that's probably what's in the tar pits is crude oil. And hydrocarbons contained in natural gas. Petroleum products can also be made from coal, natural gas, and biomass. So it's all stuff from the earth.
What's crude oil?
It's the cruder form of refined oil. What yeah. is crude?
It's got oil? A mouth of a sailor.
Mouth of a sailor oil. Crude oil definition. Crude oil means a mixture of hydrocarbons that exist in liquid phase in natural underground reservoirs and remain liquid at atmospheric pressures after, and then it cuts off the definition, so I have to keep reading. Remains of liquid pressures after passing through surface separating facilities. Depending upon the characteristics of crude oil, crude steam, it may also include any of the following: small amounts of hydrocarbons, small amounts of non-hydrocarbons. We know what that is. We're scientists, right?
Yeah.
Drip gases, hydro water, petroleum products are received. Yeah. Liquid products of natural gas. So I don't know how tar is formed, but we didn't even say what is tar.
It's that movie with
Tar is a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. It's all making sense. It is related. Tar is a dark brown or black viscous liquid of hydrocarbons and free carbon obtained from a wide variety of organic materials through, I don't know how to say that.
Viscous.
V-I-S-C-O-U-S. Viscous. Like a clear liquid or a thick liquid. When they say viscosity, it's like the thickness of something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why we're shooting the breeze. So tar is natural. What we're finding out.
Yeah.
It's the heavy, oily, dark colored liquid called tar from the wood, coal, bones, and other organic substances. So that's from dinosaurs.
So it's a myth. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So tar is dinosaurs, crude oil.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, it's made by the process called destructive distillation, subjecting the materials to intense heat in the absence of air. So underground.
Yeah. So like the closer it is to the core of the earth.
Yeah. Then somehow it leaked up and became this pit where it was at the top.
Yeah.
Is tar toxic to humans, though? That's the question they have here after.
You probably shouldn't eat it. We put in cigarettes and stuff, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Yeah, exposure to, they put in everything. Creosotes, coal tar pitch, and blah, 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 blah may be harmful to your health. Is it in cigarettes?
Tar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Eating food or drinking water contaminated with a high level of these compounds may cause a burning in the mouth and throat as well as stomach. So that's fun. So if your stomach's burning, check your water for tar.
Yeah. Or am I thinking that cigarettes create tar, or tar happens in your teeth?
Oh, well, there's darkening of the teeth. It's well, they said with heat. So if you're adding heat with whatever's in the cigarette, in the chemicals in the back, that could create that. But tar would be like a
gummy
thing. So I don't think that's it. But it's still, I think it's the thing that could hit your lungs is really the issue. And really anything that's hitting your lungs, like campfire smoke, it's not good for you. Mm-hmm. People will carcinogens. People are like, those smokers, and then they'll sit around a campfire for hours and you're like,
they smoke meat.
You're getting all kinds of stuff. Yeah, then they're smoking meat. They're taking that little piece of steak, putting it in something and lighting it and trying to get the flavor. Yeah.
For someone that's giving me attitude for smoking cigarettes, why do you smell like a smokehouse, John? Yeah.
Why do you smoke meat? And why do you use the name John in this case? I don't know. Because we know a John that smokes meat. And I loved on a board at work when it was like, what's your favorite hobby? He's like, smoking. And so funny because there's like... to say smoking as your main thing and then people all know what it is. It's amazing.
I forgot that we knew it, John. That's not at all. That did not click in my head. I didn't do that on purpose.
No, that's fine. Well, we didn't say a last name. You want to say the full name so we can get it over with?
Junk him.
I'm going to go ahead and leave it in there. He's a great guy. He's a reverend.
Yeah.
And I see your phone screen in the reflection of your glasses. Does this mean we've reached threat level midnight?
What if I close my eyes?
I can still see your phone screen. Well, then you can't look at your phone. So what's the point of that? Are you pulling up your last topic?
Yep.
Okay. What is it? Hit me with it. You are not. You have no topic. And this is why I'm calling your bluff.
Look at how many topics I have. But I'm also sending out
there's nothing
text
on that list. It says podcast topics and it's blank down below it. Look,
it's because it's too bright.
Yeah, it's too bright. And you're like, look at all these topics. And it shows podcast topics and there's nothing down below. Okay. Fair enough. I was trying to call you out. It's my bad.
Okay. I have a lot of topics. Okay. Let me just go through these quickly.
No, let's hit a couple. Let's see what we want to do.
So I love the show Succession. Mm-hmm. There is literally one episode left and then it's over.
Ooh.
By the time this podcast comes out, it's done.
Are you sad about that?
I'm really sad about it because it's a really great show. And I don't know how there's been this trend, because the following topic is about another show that is also wrapping up. Mm-hmm. But I don't like when shows leave the ending open-ended.
Yeah, me neither.
In the sense of like, you get a makeup however this show ends. And it's like, no, finish it.
Give us something. Or do a movie after and finish and be like, hey, in a year we'll wrap this up in an hour and a half for you.
Sure. And so, I don't know how they're going to do it with one episode left.
So you think it'll be like unresolved? Like my favorite show of all time wrapped up after 10 seasons. And I was like, it was okay. Cause like one person leaves it was Hawaii 5-0, the new one. And the guy leaves the thing and flies off somewhere and then meets the love interest on the plane and sees her. And they're like going together and like, oh, that's nice. But it's just like, it wasn't fully finished either. The worst ones are where they expected to do another season or something, and then it just gets canceled. Mm-hmm. And they left you on a cliffhanger, the one before, and you're like, now we get nothing. Did they live? Did they die? What happened?
Sure.
So are they going to do an extended one, like a 2-hour thing?
I think if anything, it's going to be like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm just bummed about it. The last episode really took me out of it. Took it out of me.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to ruin it. So at the beginning of the season, the dad dies. And last night's episode was the funeral. And there was a moment where one of the characters just doesn't... hasn't grieved or has told everyone that they've grieved, that they're fine. Yeah. And then it comes time to the funeral and they just turn into a puddle and just cannot.
Basket case.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was very hard. And I thought they did an excellent job depicting and writing the processes of grief, or like how
the different characters are grieving. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was done really well. So my next,
how are they going to do this?
Yeah. Cause there's like, there's a lot of, so to the point of the show, it's called Succession. So it's like, who is going to take over the business
for the dad? Yeah.
And there's like a lot of plans in the air within the show that haven't landed. So it's like, I don't know how you're going to do this in a satisfying way with one episode left. Yeah.
I wonder if they could it'd be nice if shows didn't have to stick to their platform and they could just add an extra episode and be like, the last season has 9 or the last season has 11.
Sure. Because I don't want another Game of Thrones ending. I will be so upset.
I know. The Game of Thrones one, I was like, there's so many ways you could have done this better and not made and kept maybe people still alive and made it so just someone like, she loses power because the whole army realizes he's the king and everyone walks by her and she's standing there. Like, that would have been fine. Why did we have to have to end people and stuff? Yeah. Just crazy.
And so my other favorite show is Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, I love that show. And don't ruin this one though for me. I know it's the final season. Cause I'm only on season 2 and I love it.
Okay, so this is the final season, right?
Yeah.
And
season 4 or 5.
I don't know. Okay. Whatever season this is. I've watched all of them. And the way the last episode ended, I was like, no way that's the end. Like, fine if it is, but that's not the... What?
So you're saying the IMDb. Final season... is done.
I don't know. I looked on IMDb and there's like, let's say the last episode I watched was episode 9.
Okay.
The next one is titled 9.5. So I don't know if it's like another episode. It says it's marked to air on the 26th. But I thought they released all the episodes all at once on Prime.
I don't recall.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they did. But the trick too is they have the writer's strike right now going on still. And the shows that were already written, great. But there's a couple I watched that just haven't had new episodes because they're like in limbo right now. I'm like, dang it, it's been weeks. So that's probably it. And that show, her character is so good. And I'm like in the second season. I think there's at least 4 because I thought there was 3 seasons before. Yellowstone's another one that they were going to do a 6th season and that was going to be the last. And then they were like, forget it because Kevin Costner and the creator can't get along. Mm. And Kevin Costner's like, I'm out, peace out. And they didn't want to do it without him. I was like, dude, he was already near death in earlier episodes. You could just have like an accident happen and then be like, dad's been shot or something like that. And then go on with the season and do one season. But I think he's just such a big draw. So the end of season 5 for that one, Yellowstone, is it, I guess. And they left it like kind of
open-ended.
Open a little, as from what I've heard. I got to still watch it. I have to watch. I finished all 4 of the others. They're really good. But I didn't think I'd like. I haven't seen Succession or Secession.
However, you wouldn't like it.
I know. You've told me that. And I was like, most of the shows, like Yellowstone, it was tough for me to get into them just treating each other so poorly at first. And then I got to see why. And then I was like, okay, I get why everyone has these dynamics. So sometimes I just got to power through some things. But you've explained it to me before. And I was like, I don't know if I'll ever see it, maybe.
Yeah.
But like it's no hate, no shade towards it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. And then... skincare. Do you have any skincare updates?
Well, I was What have I haven't been doing anything different except it said only to do the retinol cream every four times a week, and I think I've done five sometimes.
Okay. So,
but I've started to get back into the one from Handmade to alternate it, and I feel like that one helps.
Oh, nice. Like,
and I was looking today on the phone as I was going to do a little video and talk, and I was like, I don't see any wrinkles right now. This is good. First thing, nice. I wake up in the morning, there's bags under the eyes and some wrinkles, and the evening I put stuff on, the morning I put that like Herba Mate cream on there, and they're gone. Nice. So I think it's going pretty good.
Yeah.
And I need to quit shaving with razors that are older because I've got some ingrown hairs recently, and that's no fun. So that's skincare sure. treatment too.
Yeah.
What? How about you?
I've purchased a couple things. Well, yesterday I did the whole shebang. Last night I did a clay mask for skin balancing. I did a clay mask for skin sensitivity. I did a brightness mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did retinol. And then I did a vitamin C thing, a serum.
Wow. And then I did. So you like just caked yourself up. I mean, you take the masks off as you're going and then you apply the other stuff. Yeah. You don't just mask upon mask.
Yeah. No, a mask and then wash, mask, wash, mask, wash. And then I put on the serums.
So three different serums after that.
Yeah, because then I did one of the handmade serums.
Oh, wow.
And then I did their under eye or the like.
Anti-aging one?
Anti-aging. And then I did a final moisturizer.
To lock it all in. Just
yeah.
Keep it all sitting there. And yeah. You feel good this morning? You like wash it off? You're like.
Well, even after last night, after the clay masks, I was like, wow, my skin looks great. Because it like, it removes all the dead skin. It's fantastic.
I love clay masks are great. The thing that's been my favorite, which I haven't done in so long, which would be fun to do, but it's kind of gross when you do it, is the little strips over the nose and then you pull them up.
Yeah.
And there's always like, not always, but I'd rarely do them. And I used to not like maybe wash my face as much, like with like actually like putting stuff on it. I just let water hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'd oilier skin then because now it feels fine. But when I did it then, I would get these little like, it looked like little hairs coming off of the pet things, but it was just the dirt in the pores.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy to think about. I just pulled this all out and the skin felt so fresh after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing I really want to try is Brad Pitt's thing that he has, but it's $375 a bottle and it's insane. I was like, dude, you've made enough money. How about you sell it for like $50 or something? But it shows results of like people that had a lot of wrinkles and they're just like, it's like before and after and they're like gone. You like just put it on there and it like tightens everything up. So I mean, he's obviously formulated it and paid a lot to get it done, but $375 a bottle, it's for the rich. It's not for like the average user.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't think I'm going to be doing that one, but I did want to do it.
Oh, and I do this. I just bought it. It's like it's like three different types of vitamins that you rub on your face. So I just take a cotton ball. I do like three little pumps and then I just wipe it all on my face in the morning and afternoon. And
putting like vitamin E probably, because that's a good one for the skin. Yeah,
probably vitamin C.
Maybe vitamin D. You do that. That's like getting sun or something else. Mm-hmm. Vitamin E is really good for skin. I had a vitamin E cream that I still have that just smelled weird and I never liked it. So I could probably get into putting that on and find a better scent of vitamin E and probably that would be good too.
Why don't you put in a few drops of like essential oils? Make it smell better.
I don't have any essential oils, but I guess I could get some.
Yeah, just buy one.
I don't know. There's got to be one that smells decent, has a scent to it, like a citrus scent or something too. That'd be a vitamin C. But all those different things are really helpful. So you're doing it right. Cause I can't, it's a pixelated picture, but your skin looked good today. So you obviously are.
It looks a lot better. I have some breakouts, but that's cause I've been eating terribly, I think.
Oh yeah. I got like steak and vegetables.
No, my skin got irritated. That's why I have these little breakouts. I used it's like a small razor that clears off like dead skin and hair.
It's like an actual shaving thing.
Microblading.
Oh, is really?
That
yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
Microblading is what they do to eyebrows.
Yeah. But I think you can do it for your skin as...
I bet. Yeah. I mean, you can microblade your arm. You can do anything. You can do anything.
Whatever it is. I did it, but my skin is so sensitive that I just like break out. So,
so you gotta like
alternative.
Hit it with some like rubbing alcohol and just burn. Or no, hydrogen peroxide just clears up all the stuff and just hurts so bad. Anytime I have an open cut, I pour a little hydrogen peroxide on it and I'm just like, but it like, it does clear off any like, clear off bacteria, stuff like that.
Sure.
So it's helpful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the skincare stuff I want to do. Well, besides the Brad Pitt one, I'm not going to do, but I do feel like there's more that I could do. And I think it's like collagen is another thing that I was looking up.
Taking collagen? And
there's taking, or there's like creams that are supposed to be good too. Mm. And there's a combo I'd love to try. It's $89 for a month supply of NMN. So N, M, then letter N again is one thing. Then there's resveratrol, which is found in grapes. Mm. And then there's collagen. And this three combo of things you take, I think these are topical things, though, too. But doing these three things are like, it helps the telomeres in your body stay longer, so you like can live longer. And it's like I think these are pills, because how else would you ingest that stuff to help you out and not just the skin? Yeah. But taking that combo, and this is a doctor at Harvard that's formulated this, and I've seen a couple of his things. He was on a podcast talking about it, and then I just saw an ad pop up for it, and I was like, oh, only it's normally $129 a month, and it's $89, and I was like, do I want to add $100 of expenses per month? But he like swears by it, and everyone swears by it and says, I look younger, I feel better, I have more energy with the resveratrol, just helps and all this stuff. So it's tempting to just keep going with ways to feel better. But how much is too much per month?
Right.
Is the question.
I don't know.
And once you start taking it, you're going to keep taking it.
You're not just going to do a month.
Yeah, you're not just going to do a month and be like, I'm good now. I did it. Or I could use it supplementally every few days, and it helps more than if you're not doing it. They basically said it at 25, your body starts to create less of this thing, NMN or whatever it is in there in the body. And by 40, it's dropped. It showed like a man standing full, you know, like filled up like with a liquid. Mm-hmm. And at 40, it's at your shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, or like a little below the shoulders, 50, it's at the waist, 60 is at your knees, 70 is like at your feet. And so it's like, okay, but if you're taking this stuff, you're getting it is the idea. Oh, collagen, it's collagen production too at 25 starts to like adjust and change.
Yeah.
So maybe it's something that is worth doing for $89 a month. I don't know. Yeah. I'd love to find a cheaper option that has stuff too. And I know Annie told me about one that was a collagen thing she takes that she said it's good, and she's got great skin, so
she does. Yeah,
I should probably do that too. But I feel like I'm doing something now where before 40 I didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I have friends who are older, about the same age or a year younger, and they have a lot more lines around their eyes. They also have 2 to 3 kids.
Sure.
So there's just stresses in life that add to that stuff too.
Yeah, I want to learn more about peptides.
Oh, like peppermint stuff, peppermint sticks?
Yeah, like shakes and stuff.
Yeah, they make a great peppermint shake at Shake Shack.
Oh, nice. No, because I need to buy more, but I used to buy a collagen and peptide like powder, like a sub, what's that called?
Serum. They have a serum here, a complex serum of collagen and peptide.
But I don't know what
it's a powder unflavored here.
Yeah. So there's a natural one that I was taking. I was putting it in like my smoothies and stuff every day, or coffee. You can put it in your coffee and drinking it. But there was someone that I came across that was like, oh, you shouldn't be drinking your collagen. You should be
applying it
or injecting it.
Injecting is not for me. I'm going to let some wrinkles happen. I don't know. I'm not a needle person.
Mm-hmm. But I need to read into all of it.
Well, the combo on this thing, it's normally 40 almost. It says it's $21 now for this whole thing for a month, but supports bone density, that combo, collagen and peptides, and reduces fracture risk, promotes joint strength and pain-free motion. So just helps with the joints, accelerates tissue recovery and healing, improves skin elasticity and minimizes deep wrinkles. So that's like probably similar to what retinol's doing. It enhances hair follicle thickness and helps prevent balding. That's all very cool stuff. Correct weak and damaged nail beds. I have a damaged nail bed on my feet. Those are the two that got stepped on and look all messed up. So maybe I need this combo for $21. See, $21 instead of $89
is it the powder? The like
it's a powder. Yeah, it says it's unflavored. It doesn't have a cow. It has like a little river with a mountain range. So Native Path is what it's called, the brand. Oh, okay. They have a bunch of them though.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many cool things to do. It's just how much more, I mean, not that I couldn't afford to do $89 more a month, but if we're talking about longevity and feeling good, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because I do want to live forever. And forever is just the meaning till it's done. It doesn't mean like, I want to live well forever, which is like when it's over, but I don't want to be like decrepit if I can avoid.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Like I know I'm not going to live forever, but I would love to have a healthy life for as long as I'm alive and like still be able to function, still be able to move and all of
that. And cognitive and, just
sassy.
Not having your sassy. Yeah. Staying sassy forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, just seeing bone mass disappear, like with my dad and that kind of stuff is like tough because you just see like these tiny little legs and I was helping him eat Sunday a little bit and he kept like nodding off. Because we got him sitting up to change some stuff and had him sitting in a chair and he kept nodding off and like almost choking on not choking, but like swallowing the straw because he'd like poof, and his head would drop. And so I kept holding it out. But every like 2 minutes, his head's like going down. I was like, Dad, hold on. Let me get the straw. So I'm just like, that's the stage. I'm going to figure out a way to avoid some of those things by doing all the things now, because I don't think that he thought about any of that stuff earlier. There's tests you can do, which someone was telling me Sunday, a friend was telling me Sunday, about like if you're predisposed for dementia or anything like that, or because it's in like their family. So her sister got the test and she was predisposed and all this stuff. So there's a Mediterranean diet that's supposed to like slow that and really help. So there's certain diets you can do. There's a lot of stuff you could do. Diet's huge with all these things.
Remind me again, predisposition and hereditary, the difference there.
Well, what's interesting, the hereditary side, because with hereditary, I think it's the same thing, but I don't think everything that people think is hereditary, like addiction. There's another podcast that I've been listening to a lot more podcasts recently, but the one today is the doctor saying like people say like alcoholism is hereditary, and that's not true from what they've discovered. What it is it's their trauma response. They're trying to deal with trauma. They might be more inapt to like use that for trauma, but they could also not be an alcoholic if they figure out and deal with their trauma instead of burying the trauma. You bury the trauma and then you're constantly needing to cope it. So if you fix the trauma, you fix the alcoholism or some of these other things that people have. But I don't think like dementia is a different thing. So
sure.
So if I took the test, because it's not in my family at all. So if there's a test and I took it and they're like, you're because of this, I'd be like, well, I would almost rather not know. And then I'm hoping by the time that I get to the age that maybe something would develop, I'm like, oh, I'm turning all the burners on to 50%. That's what my dad was doing. What's going on with my brain? They're talking about having cures for dementia in the next 15 to 20 years and like pills that you could take that would actually change what the brain's doing. And I bet they'll have it with all the advances in technology. So the first sign of anything, I'd be like, I'm ordering those pills tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're living in a good time because we're at a time in history where a lot of things are advancing so quick that there'll be cures for some of the things that are, that people don't have the option for now, which will be great for us later.
Yeah.
Hopefully, which is why they said people, there's people alive now that could live to 150 possibly.
Jeez.
Based on like probably getting a bot put in there that goes through and fixes things for you.
Mm-hmm.
AI, like you were saying before. So AI bodies and you could live longer. So if it came down to like living well longer and then, or just falling apart, I'd probably choose to live well longer if possible.
Yeah.
Whatever. As long as I was still myself and not some like AI taking over my brain of some kind too. So it's all very interesting and exciting at the same time.
Yeah.
And scary.
I think we can find you a well to live in. I think that's possible. Yeah.
A well? Like a hole in the ground?
Didn't you just say you wanted to live in a well?
I wanted to live well.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some wells still around by that time.
Yeah,
and most wells are very narrow drilled. They're not like a wide put a bucket down it anymore. We got to find an old English well in the countryside. Yeah.
Well,
we found your new home.
The Ring Well is somewhere here in Washington, right? Isn't it up north?
Stanwood. Yeah, it was filmed in Stanwood. I never saw The Ring and I was like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Because it was a scary movie too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they filmed it mostly. I mean, the whole movie wasn't in Stanwood, but the location there was.
Yeah.
And that's not too far from me. So. I could drive by there and I'm not going down
there
it
you go.
Based on what I've heard. I thought it would show you something on TV and whatever you saw was like your demise. Wasn't that the premise of that?
I don't know. I never saw it.
You've seen
it? I was too scared. Really?
Yeah. Don't worry.
I don't
about
want
it.
To watch it.
But basically once it's kind of like if someone's like, if there was an atomic bomb that went off, which would be tragic somewhere, you know, let's just say it's in the desert. But then as it goes off, if someone's like, whoa, like if you see a bright light, you're gonna look. If you don't have like protective glasses on or something kind of protecting your eyes, you'll go blind from seeing that light. And the natural human reaction is to look if something like is catching your attention. So if someone's like, hey, don't look over there, you're like, huh? So it's the same thing as that movie. You're like, suddenly you see it on TV, and once you've seen it, you're screwed.
Oh
yeah, that was the premise, I believe.
What's Poltergeist about?
Oh, we're going to scary movies.
Isn't there TV in that? Poltergeist.
It's about weird possession stuff and everything. The crazy thing about that movie is the guy's real daughter did die during the making of it.
Stop.
And there's a scene. No, I mean, just not while the movie was going. I mean, just tragically in some other non-movie related thing.
Yeah.
But on the movie set, there was weird things happening and levitating, all kinds of weird stuff. So they had some ghost experiences there.
Yeah.
But there's a scene later in the movie after she's actually physically died where she's in the background on a wide shot standing. It's like a shadow thing. And you're just like, what?
Really?
And so that's like one of the Easter eggs that someone's like, yeah, this was actually filmed after she wasn't alive, and they noticed later it was on the film. So
dang.
So like that kind of stuff's like not my fave. And any of those movies, spooky. Like the crawling down backwards on the ceiling and all that stuff.
No,
like
thanks.
And the scary movies made fun of stuff, but
yeah.
Like as Dolly would say, no thank you.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, so that's right. So we're avoid scary stuff, stick with a positive, and we'll see you next week, and my voice won't sound hashed because I'll be so much healthier and I'll keep doing that skincare too. Mm-hmm. And you too, keep doing it, it's looking good.
S3.
I didn't even notice the any red or anything through here, so you got perfect skin through camera right now.
Thanks.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Episode 120 out.